I'll tell you what I'm sick of. That's the chickens coming home to roost. That's what I'm sick of.
Oh.
So, fucking, you know, chickens. I'm a fairly impatient person. You know, I don't like people faffing. You know, we've had that discussion. And, you know, in the past, and probably still occasionally now, I've probably been a bit impolite when I've been impatient with people. Guess who's getting that thrown in their face by their son all the time now? My son is now extremely impatient and has, yeah, no real tact about it, particularly with me. So I'm sitting there going, I can't be annoyed because I know I do it. But now, it's really shit.
My question is he just mirroring your behaviour, or does he have his own style of impatience?
No, I think I'm pretty sure I'm seeing myself what I do.
Yep.
And
he's just trying it on.
Yeah. No, it's just like it's, I don't know, learnt behaviour, whatever, but I feel like shit. Because it's not very good. Like, it's a bit nasty sometimes. And I go, oh, is that what I'm like? Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's always bracing, isn't it? When you're like, oh, whatever it is, oh, that's me. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know quite how to tackle it, because I can't get annoyed with him. Well, I can,
I'm
getting annoyed with myself as well. So,
well, you could get impatient with his impatience.
That might be part of the dad tradition.
Be impatient faster.
Of getting annoyed by the behaviours that your children have.
Yeah. And the only place they've gotten from is you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that might be part of it.
The cat's in the cradle and the suit.
But I tell you what, something I forgot last episode. Ben popped in to see me over summer. He was come back from somewhere, dropped in to see me, say good day, catch up, etc. And I got to say, he was a perfect dialer dad. Well, he was at my house. I pre-warned him that the lawn was a bit shocking. He came in, made no mention of that. I was watching him. He didn't even turn to look at it. Like, he just steadfastly refused to look at the lawn.
Uber tactful dialer dad.
That's right. I got cracking paint on my patio ceiling. Didn't mention that. Dry deck. Not looking that great. Very much needing a redo. No mention of that. Just wasn't even like he noticed. I know he noticed it. He's over dad. But do you think he said anything? He didn't say a goddamn word. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Wigo. And you don't think you'd be a good dialer dad? I heartily disagree.
Well, Stu, can I give you an insight into the over dad?
Right.
In that I saw myself in you in that moment. And so I was...
So you weren't looking at the lawn or the paint because you were too busy studying me.
Well, no, I was like, I didn't necessarily need to see those things because I was able to, because I sense them in myself, because I see them in my own home. I understood your feelings,
right?
And was able to empathize with you. And so we were doing that together without even saying anything. We were able to empathize with each other.
But you wouldn't be at that state. You're an overdadder. Your lawn would have been done. You would have at least had a crack at fixing the paint. The deck, you wouldn't let a deck go dry. What are we talking about here?
Look, we can have that discussion next time you come to my house, Stu.
Oh.
that's why I'm saying I can point you right now at a huge dead patch that I zeroed on my lawn. That's now, like, on purpose, but it doesn't look real great. It's like a big zit on my lawn. there's definitely some need for painting in my house and some areas that have cracked.
All right.
And, yeah, my back deck definitely needs a good oil.
And I'm being sensitive is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And
wasn't that comparison. A song from the early 2000s?
My deck needs a good
project
oil.
Project Dads.
Look, if we're doing dad confessions, what I'll also tell you is that my pool, due to the like the large amount of rain over the last week, I have not chlorined enough, and we're now in algae territory.
Oof. Oh, whoa, all right. All right, lean in.
Yeah.
What are we
going to do? It's algae town.
Well, yeah. You know, it's...
And we're sitting here in algae town.
Yep.
Yep.
So now, being that the temperature on the Central Coast is going to reach the mid-30s over the weekend, ooh, I'm under an inordinately large amount of pressure to get rid of the algae by Sunday so that the people of the home can swim.
They'll have lily pads in there. By
yeah, they'll be blooming then.
Well, yeah, that's right.
God.
So pray for me. Pray for me all.
What are you going to do? How do you get rid of algae in your pool?
Well, I shocked it yesterday.
Say what?
I shocked the pool yesterday. So I went out and just went, boo.
Yep.
So I chucked a whole heap of really high concentrate chlorine into the pool.
Mm. I have to say, I haven't introduced anyone yet. But this is great.
where we want to be.
Yeah.
Here's the chlorinator.
Yeah,
there. Chlorinator speaking. And I'm Stu, that's Matt, that's Rich, that's Ben. Show.
So I've shocked the pool, and now I've chucked a whole heap of algicide into the pool, and then tomorrow afternoon I'll have to sweep the pool and vacuum to waste.
Yes. Well, okay. Back to my deficiencies as a dad. I don't look after the pool in this house. That's number one.
Mm.
Number two, we got to dial a dad out to do it for us. We got the pool man to come out. Yeah. When we had the algae issue.
Mm.
So I got no advice to tell you other than to ring someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's odd. I'm going to give it a crack. I've done it before.
You're going to give it a crack? But you're a man who takes his water to the pool man to get a pH tested. You're not going to bring up the algae issue?
Well, I had... this is the thing, right? So we had a party. Rose had a pool party for her birthday. And the week before, I was dialed in. Like, I had the pool. I had my own... Like, I got a test kit. I was doing all my own testing. I had all my own chemicals. I had the pool absolutely schmick. Ready to... Like, great pool party. Pool was... The pH was perfect. With crystal, no algae, no nothing. And then the rain's just thrown me for a loop. But now, I've still got all my chemicals there.
Right.
And I feel like I've done it before, so I can do it again.
Okay. So would you say that if you get the right balance of chemicals going, you'll be able to defeat it and you'll be able to algae mangles?
Oh, that, I mean, geez. That's okay.
Nice. I've been sitting here trying to craft... A flowers for algicide joke. And shoehorn that in there somewhere. But algae mangles, that's phenomenal. Oh,
thank you so much.
Oh, well done.
Oh,
goodness.
All right, good night, everyone.
Where do we go from there?
Oh, that's it. What else can you bring to the table?
Rich, how are you, friend? We didn't get to see you last time. What's happening in your world? Sorry, is there more to say about the algae? Like, are we?
No,
like,
I think we're done there. There's nothing more to add.
Oh, I have more questions, but I'm happy to move on.
More chemicals, that's what you need to add.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to know, like, how do you balance it so your kid's going to go in there and turn out, you know, my eyeballs, like Simpson style.
Even more albino.
Yeah.
Great question. I don't know, we're about to find out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I guess so.
I'll get back to you next step.
All right, sorry. Back to Ellis.
Good. Very. We on that, we haven't had a day under 30 degrees for God knows how long.
Why?
And we've had huge humidity. It's been really humid. Everyone's just sitting here and these 38-degree baking heat, but the humidity is sitting around 75-80%. So where everyone's just exhausted and getting sick, and it's really kind of gross.
It's the old cyclone. It's the wet season in the north. It all just gets tracked in.
Yes.
It's just sitting on everyone. It's the same in Canberra. Everyone's like, what is going on?
That's crazy. Humid. It's still so hot. Like, we're mid-March, and as I say, we haven't had, like, it's barely dipped below 35.
It's a wet heat.
Yes. Tomorrow's 39 again. Everything's around 40 is more.
It's coming. Normal. It's coming, Ellis. It's coming this week. It's coming this weekend.
Oh, bloody hope so.
The change is coming. I can feel it in my waters.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and yes, shout out to anyone who's, you know, had their place flooded by Cyclone Alfred. I hope Wigo's algae chat is taking your mind off any problems you might have there.
Yep.
But Rich, what we need to know is what's happening with your irrigation system?
As I say, the irrigation's been put on hold.
I've still on hold.
I dug it all out. I can't remember the last time I talked to you. I dug it all out, and I've... when I say dug it out, I've dug around a lot of the risers and stuff like that. And so I've kind of tried to extricate some of the grass. The grass is kind of on its way back. There was a huge dry spell in there. So, yeah, look, it's on the back burner. We've got roofers in at the moment. We've just finished them. We're doing bathrooms. It's all a go, go, go. So irrigation is kind of a very minor concern at the moment. My garage ceiling's collapsed. I had to dial a dad a dude at work for the...
Oh, what?
Like, oh, God.
Like, there's a bulkheady bit on the side of your garage and it's just come away, and I'm like, can you just screw this in? What do I do about this? Like, he's the GA at work. He's a legend and very handy, a great dialer dad. He does renos at his, like, you know, little houses and stuff like that. But, so... there's lots going on. Irrigation's been... I'll leave that until it cools down a bit, until I can get outside.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, there was nothing too exciting there.
All right, Matt, what about your kids' hopeless friends?
Oh, well, like... The hopeless friends I refer to... this is a couple of weekends ago, and the kids had... I have to relive this day again, which is painful enough, but the kids were going to the Canberra show, which Jazz and I have never taken the kids to, so we've dodged that bullet very well. So now they go with their friends, and I was thinking I was going to have all of Saturday afternoon to myself. The kids were like, we are leaving at about midday, and you can pick us up from the Canberra show at like 9 o'clock. And Justine said she was going to the movies pretty early too. So I was like, sweet. I had zero time to myself because of my children's friends. So they made plans. It became clear very early on that no one had really spoken to anyone of parental nature with all their friends. Right. So... we're going to meet somewhere at 12 o'clock became, no, we'll meet somewhere at 1 o'clock became, we'll meet somewhere at 3 o'clock became, no, my parents are taking me at 5 o'clock. And then at one point my daughter was like, screw this, I'm not going at all, and was a complete mess. And that was at about 4:30. And I was like, do you want me just to drive you there? I would just drive you. She said, no, my friend messaged me and said that she is going and I can go to her house and then her parents will take us. And I said, okay. And then while we were driving there, she got a message saying, no, my parents aren't taking... I just asked them. And they said, no, they can't. They've got something else on. There's a family dinner. So in the end, Noelle went to the family dinner and then they took them, and she had about 3 hours at the Canberra show. But it was literally 5 hours of plans changing between her and her four friends, because none of them had talked to their parents about what was actually happening. And in the end, I was just like losing my mind. And then I dropped her off at her friends, and then Justine came home and she said, how was your day? And I was like, I'm not even functioning. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do any dad jobs because I was like, what's happening? Can I do this? Yeah. Can I? Yeah, it was.
Am I still on standby?
Yeah, I was just on standby for 5 hours.
You were on standby.
Oh, it was horrible. It's just the worst.
This is the question. Is this a hopeless friend thing, or is this a modern day problem of back in our day?
Exactly what I was going to say.
Firm plans because if you had Friday afternoon at school, you said, I'm going to meet you at this shop at this time.
Yeah.
And
had to happen.
That was it. It have to happen, otherwise you'd never meet up.
Yeah.
If you're late, you're late. You gave him 10, 15 minutes grace, whatever, and it was like, well, stuff then. We're just going to keep going.
You're talking about lack of phone communication ability.
Yeah, but I think it's a learned thing. I think my eldest is in year 11 now. She makes plans with her friends. It happens. And I think what they learn, it's not that they have to learn how to use their phones and all that stuff. What they actually learn is to say to their friends, that's fucking annoying.
Right.
Because that's what I think the difference is. My eldest went through the same stage, but now she has to nail down the plans and gets annoyed with her friends and actually calls them on their behavior. Like, hey, we're going to do this without you if you don't get back to us, or I'm not coming if you don't get back to us. I think that's what they learn over time. But it was just a shit show. Royal.
Yeah. Oh, look, obviously kids.
That's triggered me.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the most horrible.
Yeah, just imagine you've just been on standby for five hours. Like being a dialer dad and not getting a call.
Oh, mate, yeah. On call as a dialer dad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yes, I get what we're saying there about, you know, kids being better at, you know, expressing how they're feeling and being more open, etc. these days. I just don't know that the same circumstances were around in our day.
Well, no, definitely.
Like
not.
You're talking about nobody spoke to parents about it. I don't think we spoke to our parents about what we were doing that much. But also, we didn't seem to rely on them as much for plans.
There was a lot of. I was thinking about that today. Like the amount of independence from even a really early age, like when I was younger, like George's age and before, like riding to school, getting the bus, making sure that I was, like mum had waved me goodbye at the door and I'd walk across a major road up to the bus stop.
Yeah.
From mid-kindy. And I know it sounds like, oh, that was back in our day and it was the 80s. It was the 80s is like a common joke in our house. Like, you know, this was just the way that things were done in the 80s. But, have things changed that much? Like I said to Tony, can't they start taking the bus? Because we're not far from the school. We're about, you know, a 4-minute drive or something like that. And the bus goes straight past our house. And that means we don't have to drop them off and pick them up. So can't they just catch the bus? Just
but this is why it's the annoying friends. Like my daughter would have easily caught a bus, and then caught the tram and spent the whole day, like 10 hours, whatever. And then I would have picked her up and she would have been fine. But that's where why it's the other friends that drive me.
So it is really the phones then, isn't it? Because, I mean, we might have had that kind of umming and ahhing of, oh, do I want to go? Oh, do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? But when we were growing up, it would have all been internalized. Now, because it's so easy to talk to each other, every thought you have can go into a message thread. And that's where all the consternation comes from, right?
But it also brings on the immediate plan that then ropes in the parent. Like, so my kids are just absolute. Like, Harves has now been better because he'll catch the bus and do whatever he needs to do around that. But Louis is a special for walking out and going, I need to be at Erina in 3 minutes. Like, hang on, when did these plans get made? Oh, just now, like 4 minutes ago. I was like, hang on a second. What's going on?
Yeah.
Well, you know how he sees you.
Yep.
On standby, permanently.
Yeah, that's right, standby dad.
Donald. Yeah.
Taxi dad. Taxi dad.
What about on Friday night? We went out.
Taxi dad. Sorry. I don't know why I went. I'm going to regret that.
Why did he have to be ethnic?
It's very tired.
So
stop it.
But you see all the workings. I think that's my issue. Like,
yeah. Well, we had the inverse the other night. We go right where we were out. Harvey said, "Can I go to Erinner with my friends?" And yeah. I'll catch the bus. And we're like, his parents were like, "Well, it is like it's Friday night at 7 o'clock." What? And he said, "Yeah, yeah, no." And they're like, "Well, let us know when you come home." And then he never replied that he got home.
Yeah.
And when they got home, he was there, and he never went. Yep, he never went at all. So he didn't communicate that. He didn't think he had to. He didn't go, so he didn't have to tell anyone.
Yeah.
So, but when they got home, they're like, "I haven't heard from him. It's 11 o'clock. Nah, he just
Why do I need to tell you I'm safe? I never left.
That's right. I don't need to tell you I haven't done anything.
That's right.
I was like, That's pretty good.
Logic.
It's the reverse standby, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm really not looking forward to any of this.
But also, like, I think our sort of our mutual friendship here amongst the four of us and others was probably a bit different too, because we all lived quite a distance away from each other as opposed to probably friends groups in a normal high school, which is a suburban high school. So yeah, we all came from different areas of the Central Coast to one school, so obviously if we were seeing each other on weekends or whatever, it was a bit of a trek to get to each other.
Yeah.
So I'm glad there were no phones. And can you imagine if I'm on a train for half an hour coming down to see someone and there's a whole bunch of umming and ahhing in the chat?
Yeah.
I'd be ropeable.
Oh, no, not coming.
Mum. I haven't asked Mum and Dad, but it'll be fine. They can't meet you. You have to walk.
Transport was so shit. Yeah,
so if I'm coming from one end of the Central Coast to the other.
Yeah.
And then I get there and go, I didn't ask Mum.
You can't stay.
We've got to go out. You know, well, fuck, I guess I'm back on the train.
Yeah, you can't stay. Yeah.
These child buskers aren't going to harass themselves.
Yeah, that's right. We did harass.
Get back on the bus.
Harass child buskers. Yeah, that's right. That's what we did. I'll meet you in the park on Saturday at 11 o'clock. Let's go. Far out. I did have that experience. Now that you mention it.
Are we going to tell that story or?
No. Ellis and I did some invisible theatre in the centre of Gosford Town. We learned about invisible theatre in year 10 or year 11 drama. So myself and...
For those who don't know?
Invisible theatre is where you perform, but the audience is oblivious. They do not know it's a performance. So it's a lot of wanky students.
Prank show style.
Prank shows and things like that. It was high art. No one was filming it. It was just the experience, and then it's gone. It's the experience, and then it's gone. So we did a wonderful skit where the Arimba Line Dancing Association children were line dancing and busking in the Imperial Centre? I don't know if that's what it was called. And Ellis pretended to steal money from them. And I confronted him about it.
I was looking all cagey, like I was going to go and get it. And you came in and gave me a dressing down. In
front of I said, "What are you doing?" And blah, 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 and sent him on his way. There was a lot of shouting, but not swearing, but a lot of shouting. And then he went on his way. And then
did he drop any money back in?
No, he didn't. He didn't take any of the money.
I was just acting kind of cagey.
He was just cagey around it.
Oh, I see.
And I said, "Oi, what are you doing?"
And I was like,
and he said, "What?" I said, "You were taking money." Yeah, I said, "You were taking their money. That's bullshit. And get out of here." And I followed him down, shouting.
Yeah.
And then off he went
to send him off.
Yeah, pretty much. And then when I turned around, two things: a round of applause from the old people there.
Yeah.
And crying children who were doing the line dancing.
It was making children cry.
Yeah. They were doing the line dancing and we interrupted, and they, obviously with the shouting and all that stuff, it made them cry. They were being consoled by their parents. But everyone was saying to me, "Well done. What a nice person you are." I made those children cry.
Give us your name. We're going to ring the paper and... tell them
so I made a very hasty exit, and then Ellis and I were caught up not too far away, stupidly. I don't think it was very far away, and then had to flee the centre, basically, because security were like, "Wait a minute. That's the person and the other person.
What was your
shenanigans?
Did you have a plan if one of the parents...
No.
Did you have a...
No.
Sorry.
No plan.
If one of the parents got up and started thrashing you?
No plan. It was Invisible Theatre, Buckland. Hey.
It was
the zenith of Invisible Theatre.
It would have been a real response.
Yeah, that's right. It was real. Real, man. We did real. It was real, man. I'm sick of this fake stuff.
Yeah,
it was real.
Absolutely. Yeah. And everyone out there, this was... Yeah, they were teenagers, like... Probably 16, 17, something like that.
Yep. Oh, I don't think we did it again after that, strangely enough. Yeah, it might have been year 10.
Yeah.
And then we told our teacher afterwards, and I don't think he was very happy. So he was like, what?
He was a bit concerned about...
Sorry, what did you do?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Yeah. Why were you in uniform?
I wish we were in a uniform. That would have been great.
I mean, no, that's too obvious.
Michael A.
That all started from kids faffing around, making
plans. Yeah, how can we get to that? Yeah, Invisible Theatre.
I do dog walking on the side, and one day I got this new client, a new dog. First day out walking it, it just lunged at my face and just practically tore off my nose after it was all over with the pain. And something like that stays with you. I couldn't look in the mirror, just I didn't want to know what I looked like afterwards. With the emotional and physical trauma, there's also the money. Where am I going to get this money to recover and look like myself again? I didn't know who to contact. I ended up talking to my dad, and he told me to talk to the advocates. They walked me through every step, and I never saw a single bill. Lots of plastic surgeries, a lot of tears, but the advocates got me a settlement that covered everything, and then some. I am so glad I made that call.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. With us, you can focus on healing from a dog bite, and we'll handle everything else.
Should I tell you a little bit about the fact that my war with tradies continues?
Oh.
Oh, please.
It's just a short thing. Walking down the street the other day on my lunch break at work, down the main street of the town, and, you know, I was wearing business clothes, business shirt, trousers, etc. I had my phone in one hand.
Pie waft in the air?
Yeah.
No. Pie waft... Well, we'll get to that, maybe. But, I don't know, I was just strolling along. I don't know if I had a particular walk about me that annoyed someone, but this ute full of tradies pulls up next to me, and one of them yells, "You can stop pretending, mate. We know you don't have a job." And then just drove off. And I'm just standing there in the street going, what? Hey, what? Hey! Because, I don't know, I didn't know what to say to that. It wasn't an insult directly. They didn't, like, start abusing me or swearing at me. It was just some sort of weird reveal they thought they had, which was based on nothing theater. And not true.
Yeah, Invisible Theatre. Well,
very close to the park.
Invisible Theatre's right.
Yeah. You were like, what's going on? What's happening here?
Yeah.
And they were like,
HSC student.
Yeah, they were like, well done.
Click. Either that.
Or teacher was in the back. Click.
Or they've introduced an invisible theatre unit in the kind of, plumbing course at TAFE for some reason.
I'm pretty sure that's part of it.
Yeah. But
the plumbers charged me recently, wouldn't put them past the...
They're putting on a bit of a performance
for a Broadway show.
But also, have they caught out other people walking down the street at lunchtime pretending they've got jobs? And they thought I was similar? Or did I look like someone they knew didn't have a job? I'm perplexed. I can't help but feel...
They're just having a crack. Like they're just...
That it's tradies trying to alpha me again.
Yeah. I reckon they've heard it in another... From another ute... at another time, and they've thought, you know what, I'm going to hold on to that one and reuse it.
I find a certain poetry in another ute in another time as a title. Anyway. Hey, Matt, we've had this thing on the rundown for a while called Former Dad Insurance.
Oh, yes.
I think we should get to it, lest it yes. be perpetually pushed back.
Right. So, Former Dad Insurance is something I mean, I want to bring us to our attention, but also I know it leaves us open to future claims against us as dads, if that makes sense. Mm. But former dad insurance is like when all our decking got hammered by hail a few weeks ago and left very, very holy. When the insurance came out, they said, well, we'll go and check your roof and make sure that there's no hail damage up there. And I was like, all right, cool. And he went up there and he said, no, there's no hail damage. He said, but it looks like someone, probably the previous owner, rather than fix your damaged tiles, maybe from a prior storm, has just siliconed them all together.
God.
So you'll need to get them replaced. So I can't sign off on this until you replace all those because it's not real. It's not really secure and they're silicone together. So they might all fall off together if that makes sense. And I was like, great. So I thought, can I get former dad insurance from a former dad in your house that's half-assed a job?
Mm. Oh,
great question.
Yeah, you see what I mean? Like where someone's like, oh, dude, don't get a tradie. I'll do it. They've half-assed it. Oh, just silicone them together, then I'll be fine. Rather than buy, you know, like literally 15 tiles that are probably, I don't know, someone explained, $25 each or something. Not that expensive, but anyway.
Oh, the labour. The labour.
The labour of taking a thing and replacing it. So, yeah, how can I claim former dad insurance for a previous dad's bodgy job?
Look.
I can tell you, I can tell one example, weirder. I don't know how much I can give away here, but they were doing some renovations, and rather than dispose of the asbestos properly, they basically chucked it in the backyard and put a swimming pool over the top of it.
Jesus. So
check your swimming pools.
Whoa, okay.
A dodgy above ground pool. Heads up.
Oh, God. Yep.
Would that be covered under bodgy former dad insurance?
Yeah, absolutely. You didn't put the asbestos there. Former dad did.
Former dad.
Mm. Yes, look, it makes sense. And I say that as a, you know, avowed underdadder. We all know that. So, but what, when you say, like, from the perspective of the insurance companies.
Yeah.
Like, is there enough value in that? Like, there's probably, it depends what percentage of the dad population you think are likely to do bodgy jobs around the house and therefore you have to pay out. So
you're an underdadder. Wiggins is an overdadder. I mean, we've got a group of four here. We could just do a percentage of that.
But also,
that depends what you and Rich consider yourselves.
We can do an actuarial table based on our four dadding.
Yeah, and also we don't really know because the next owners of the house might encounter, like I said, the dad insurance things that we've done where we've looked back, dusted our hands and thought, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So would you need to maybe tick a box on your license application as to whether or not you are an over or an under dad?
Right.
That is there. That's true. That's true. And if you've changed, like you have to go in and say, look, I used to underdad, but now I've got into a bit of grouting.
Oh, no, now your premiums are going
to
go up.
Well, I talked to our good friend Dave recently, and he sounds like he's gone from a bit of an underdadder to an overdadder now.
He's very much an overdadder.
Yeah, so things can change. People can grow. People can.
Use the German declination of Untervater and Ubervater.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Ubervater,
Untervater. That fits in nicely with our Dadenfreuder.
Yeah, indeed. It does.
Can I have that written on my license?
The Ubervater.
Ubervater.
Yeah. Maybe your license plate. Can your license plate say that, Ubervater? That might be an easy way to do it.
Don't open yourself up to criticism.
No. Maybe the solution isn't with like insurance, like former dad insurance. It's when you buy a new house, you get maybe dial a dad as a, you know, to check over the house.
Well, they've got building inspectors.
Building inspectors, when you buy a house, do a very shallow job. Mm-hmm. Sort of look around. Well, I'm talking about someone who's looking for
silicon on the roof.
This plumbing, this plumbing looks like it was okay. Let me have a look at. I don't know.
This looks like it's got a touch of dad about it.
Yeah, that fitting's from another place, and this that sort of there's a lot of tape. It's a lot of magic tape around this thing.
Yeah.
I remember taking off, like, looking to replace one of the washers in the shower, and I took off the handle, and it was literally just an enormous ball of silicon in behind there, like, screwed on properly.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, so that was the thing. Like, I was like, why won't this come off? Like, it just seemed ridiculous. And so I got it off eventually, but all I did was just tear through, like, 18 layers of silicon which had been put in there behind.
Man. So that's what they look for.
Silicon. It's always a problem with silicon.
Silicon fix everything.
Yeah.
It's
gaffer tape for dads.
Yep.
Gaffer tape in the world is silicon in dad world.
Yeah.
I can't get past this thing of, you know, whether it's worth it for the insurance company. So currently we're 50%, but Matt and Rich would need to know whether you consider yourself over or under dadders. But we could possibly debate this amongst ourselves.
Yeah. I might refer to my wife and see what she thinks as well.
Well, can I put something in the over-dadding column for you?
Mm-hmm.
You're a known fatberg remover.
Yep, that's true. Fatberg investigator.
Yep.
Yep, that's very true.
I think
my Ubervater credentials come from probably painting.
Yeah.
Right. I guess
a lot of plumbing around the house I've done.
Oh.
All right, but I guess like fact it's not just what you've done, it's how much did you really need to do it?
Well, this is
that's true, yes. You're right, right.
Probably another.
Yep.
And quality of work.
I'm not looking for like a little project to do, you know. Yes. I know what you mean. Yes, there's no like
you're painted into a corner.
Yeah, there's no like, hey, every 3 years I'm going to change every washer in the house.
Give me some silicon.
There's a tiny silicon nick in the corner of this wall. I got to paint the whole wall. Yeah. A room again. Let's just go the whole room. Let's
take the wall out. Let's see what I can do there.
Look, I can tell you all right now, my wife had bought some artwork to hang on a large white wall that currently has zero life to it. So we've bought some artwork.
Yep.
And for the last 7 weekends in a row, she has said to me, we need to hang that artwork.
Yeah.
And quite a simple job, one would think.
Uh-huh.
I would place the over-under on getting that artwork hung to be at 3.5 hours.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that?
Now, what I'm hearing, Matthew, is that you would take the under on that.
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, if you have a look, again, I'm not an overdatter, but there is a lot of art hung in our house on different types of walls. So I reckon I can help you out no matter what the wall was. All right,
that's a tick in the over column.
Now, so just a little bit more information. I have no issue in regards to the hanging of, so the actual action of hanging the artwork.
Yeah.
It is the placement
and
then the approval of others external to our home.
So it's committee. It's a committee that has to come in.
Artwork by committee.
Well, you didn't put that on your on your prospectus, Wiggins. I wasn't to know.
No, absolutely.
The 3.5 hours included
and again, committee meeting. I haven't taken your money.
Review and outside up tender and things like that.
No. It's a little crooked.
Yeah, that's right. No, needs to be fair. Yeah, I know what you mean there, yeah.
I will absolutely be taking you up on that offer of some assistance in hanging artwork once we actually decide where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, right. Not where it's going to go, but how it's going to go.
Right. All right.
We're trying to determine whether Rich and Matt are Uber or Unter dads.
Yeah, that's a good question.
All right, well, You ponder more.
I'm pretty middling, I'd say.
What's the German for middling?
So half dart?
Half dart?
Hofen? Hofen?
Schaftenfarter.
I'm no, you can't call it a Schaftenfarter.
I think, like, you started this episode saying that, like, you told us last time about the irrigation, you told us you've done, like, you sound like an overdadder to me.
Oh, Rich. And the amount of smoked meats that are going on in your residence, Richard.
Sorry.
Like that's got a real touch of overdad with the smoked meats.
I think it's my perspective is that I'd like to think that I'm an overdad.
Right.
But I'm really not. We'll take you.
But again, I come back to how much did the jobs need doing? Did you need to do that painting? Really?
Some of them did. I put on I made a massive picture rail, like a 2.5 meter long picture rail, and that was a nightmare.
Right.
So definitely didn't need doing.
Let me ask a question for the group.
Yeah.
And this will determine probably where you sit. It's a Saturday afternoon. You know, you've sorted, you've done some stuff in the morning, jobs, whatever, had some lunch, the afternoon's ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any immediate dad chores to do.
Right.
Do you feel comfortable or uncomfortable not having something you should be doing?
I feel very uncomfortable. I'd assume that there's something that needs to be done. There's always something
that
needs. Right. Yeah, right. I'm more of a, yep, if there's nothing to be done, there's nothing to be done.
See, that's me. So you're an underdadder, Mark.
I won't, yeah, because if I could ask my wife, she would definitely find something to do that would probably involve pruning. There'd be some pruning.
If you're sitting there not sure what it is,
yeah,
that means you then go look for a job that probably doesn't need doing that.
Yeah, I know.
I know what it is. There's always stuff to do.
I know. Once the leaves fall off the trees in the backyard, I'm going into town and cutting back all of the trees in our backyard. I know that's coming in the future, but I'm looking forward to that.
Hmm.
But also, like, there is a time on a Saturday afternoon
where I'm driving people everywhere because their friends are annoying me.
There is absolutely that. But you need to start a job at the right time because if you start a job and half it, then your Sunday morning is then tainted by the back half of that job that actually ends up being three quarters of the job because you've got to kind of get back to where you were.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that the calculations the insurance companies do when they're...
Indeed. So half a job is actually a quarter of a job.
Yeah. You've done half a job, but it's actually a quarter. Correct. Three quarters.
That's correct. I think it's great. I think it's very worthwhile thing. And, yeah, I suppose... Once you decide how likely it is that you're going to have to do a lot of payouts for this, the next question is, well, what are we charging for former dad insurance? What's the premium? Where does it start? What's the range?
Is it an optional extra on your house and contents, I'd assume?
It has to be, yeah.
Yeah, it'd have to be.
It'd be what, talking an extra, depending on... I think you'd have to look back at your residence history.
Yeah, you'd have to look at what their jobs were.
Unter and Uberdata, Uberfathers before.
Yeah, so age of house is that increases opportunity to do shit jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Size of house and yard.
But it also has the opportunity to have the shit jobs have been levelled out. I think that age can be like the settling process.
Okay.
Can help to alleviate. And I think that in past dads as well, I think we need to admit that there was a much higher degree of awareness and ability when it comes to these kind of jobs.
Oh, yeah, that's a constant shame of mine.
Newer dad jobs are going to be shitter. So newer builds, if you're trying to do stuff on newer builds, they're probably more likely
to
have been half-assed.
A great point.
Now, does this insurance also come with a dialer dad coming out to your home to assess.
I was going to say.
And like then.
The Datopia that we're building.
Yes.
Dialer dads are going to be the new. Like, they're going to be the Gestapo. They're going to come around and, you know, you've got to want a dialer dad in your back pocket.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now.
So they want to, they ask for your papers. Well, you've got to give them, yeah.
They also leave. It leaves us open to a little bit of fraud in that. And I just want to look at this risk in that if you do actually. You have, like, you know, previous dad insurance, but you attempt a job yourself and then try and fob it off as previous, like, as a previous dad's.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Are you paying for the privilege of a dialer dad to come and go, yeah, that looks like it was the previous owner's issue?
Huh.
Or
can you just call it dodgy dad insurance and then it covers you as well?
Oh, interesting. Tick a box. There you go.
Premium yes. might be quite high on that if it's covering your own that dodginess.
Well, yeah, we might actually be open to a lot of issues here in the
yeah.
people club.
All right, I think there's more thinking to be done on this, but yep. the concept is sound. Absolutely sound. We might have to come back to this another time. You know,
as I say, I'd love to get an actuary on and just let us know how they would calculate this.
Please.
What would their contingencies be?
That's right. And, you know, not only would we have that information, but we'd, you know, it'd tell us that someone's listening to this.
Yep.
To have answered that.
And then we've got a business plan. We've got a business plan right there.
Yeah.
We're going to sell that mm-hmm. to Yui. No dramas.
Yeah. But can we not have that same little bloke doing the ad telling us about dad insurance? I'm sick of the sight of that bloke.
Well, I think we need to have a dad doing it. Like a real dad.
Yeah, he's not a... He's not... I'm not buying he's a dad.
No, me either.
That'd be a great ad. He's halfway through the ad and he goes, oh, I just can't do this. And he calls up like he's...
Oh, he calls his dad. That's great. Calls his
dad, yeah.
A dialer dad comes in and finishes the ad for him.
And he comes and finishes and tells him how to do it. Now, what you want to do now, son?
Yeah.
You know, look down the camera. Yeah. Say...
Pushes read, him to his mark.
Read the fucking card, son.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, mate. Just give it to me.
Yeah. That's the slogan.
That's not the dialer dad way.
Just give it to me. Excellent.
Give it to me.
That's good.
Get out of the way.
So, we were going to do something called dad things that we don't do anymore, but I might float that out there for listeners. We'll do that next time. Are there any things that your dad used to do back in the day? Or dads generally used to do that have gone by the wayside and we don't really do that much these days. I'll give you an example and we'll, you know, see if anyone writes in and lets us know, but we'll also think some more about it. My example is the tip. As an adult, I thought I'd be spending a lot more time at the tip because we would go with my dad, if not once a week, then once a fortnight. Go to the tip, drop stuff, sort through shit, walk around. Highly dangerous on reflection.
Yeah.
But I just, I sort of got to adulthood and went, I feel I have little need to go to the tip ever. And I find that's bizarre. Like, you know, 25 years is the standard length for what we call a generation. Have things changed so much in that time?
Yeah, what was he taking to the tip? The
economy of the tip has changed.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, the tip used to be free. It was almost like you know, a big free car boot sale, but also because of environmental regulations. Everyone just used to, you know,
people were
poor, just all their old chemicals and stuff like that.
Yeah, asbestos, no doubt.
Absolutely. You just went to the tip and changed. Now, like, have you seen, like, go to the tip and they root through everything and they...
Well, no, I haven't.
...charged on each individual... Well, this is the thing. It costs a fortune.
Yeah,
right.
They wanted to charge me $200 to get rid of a TV.
What?
That's outrageous. Yeah, no wonder people are putting it under pools.
And this is exactly right. Now I've got a lovely square little fish pond out the backyard with a reflective bottom surface.
Exactly.
All right. So we'll do that next... We'll do that next week. Please write in.
Yeah.
Don't be scared. It'll be okay. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. So, yeah, next week, dad things that we don't do anymore. Let's hear some thoughts on that. Can I just give you a bit of admin around our potties. Ben and I, as well as Dave mentioned earlier, are doing a look at league podcast during the NRL season. So that's on the What's the Go feed, a weekly show where we don't necessarily give... there's heaps of podcasts out there with ex-players who've been inside and know all about it, but you don't want that.
Hmm.
You want a couple of fucking fat idiots and who aren't scared of annoying people and will say whatever's on their mind, right, Ben?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So there's that. Look for that on the What's the Go feed. Swinging on the Flippity Flop is back. So, yeah, back for 2025. That's the 90s pod I do with myself and Rachel. And Matt, Chattering Classes, coming back soon?
Chattering Classes back, let's say, either the end of the month or the start of April.
There you go. So there's plenty to listen to. This comes out once a month. If you aren't satisfied by that, there's plenty of other gear to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And I say good night to you, dads.
Good night.
Good night.
This is an Angry Chimp podcast.
So my husband and I were driving home from a date night, and we were hit head on by a drunk driver. It was awful. Anytime it's a drunk driver, that's not an accident. They made a choice to get behind the wheel. So we called the advocates. They took care of everything. The settlement that they got for us was really good. They gave us our lives back.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't pay for someone else's bad decisions. With the advocates, you won't have to.